Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am not a medical person. I'll tell you how I got involved a little bit later. And I'm going to offer you a 90-day action plan. Some of you are experts and some of you are newcomers. Some of you want to just take some guidance and some of you want to drill down into the details. So I'm going to point out 9 books that you can choose to read. My own view is that whenever there's a particular subject, I like to read 2 books and get a different view on it. So let me just introduce myself. 6 years ago, I took an interest in preventive health. And to the doctors here, all I will say is I'm a retired engineer. I hope I understand the difference between a hypothesis and randomized controlled trial evidence. I am commercially involved, and you'll see something about this. I'm not trying to sell you something. I'm trying to give you information. My primary interest is how can I live longer in good health? So as part of my interest in how can I live longer, I took an interest in vitamin D, which I'll explain to you a bit later. I started with this book, which is my primary source of information of how to live longer in good health. So if you're reaching towards good health, this is an excellent source of information. You can have an electronic copy of the presentation, so it's all available. Okay? And one of the key things here is supplements, and I see some of you here are taking supplements. I am taking a big bundle of supplements every day, and I have the metabolism age of a 47-year-old, but I'm actually 71, so something's working. Thank you. So I'm interested in complementary medicine, not alternative, complementary, where it can help to prevent or treat long-term and age-related illnesses. And these are the major ones that people seem to suffer from as they get older. And there are some common themes, as you can see, vitamin D is one of them. Now, vitamin D, if you have thyroid problems, be careful. Don't take massive amounts of vitamin D without getting certain things right first. The reason I got interested and started on your forum is that I've been arranging some other conferences about vitamin D. A TPA member phoned me up and asked for some advice, and I just happened to have some samples which I posted to him, and he crashed over the next couple of days. And I'd never heard that happening, so I took an interest in this. This was a couple of years ago. However, you do need vitamin D. It's one of the many nutrients that you do need in the body to create T3 out of T4. So it plays a part, but go carefully. So here are 2 of the books, Dr. Pete Field, who's here, and another one about adrenal fatigue. Dr. James Wilson has a very good online questionnaire, if you haven't seen it before, to gauge how ill are you, and to take to your doctor and to prove that you've got this, this, and this wrong with you. I would recommend both these books. And again, these are 2 books that approach the subject from different directions, and you'll get a different view by looking at the 2 of them. So here's my 90-day action plan in simple form. Exercise, not a lot, but 3 different types. Make sure you sleep better and longer. I heard somebody at my table say, oh, I don't go to bed till about 2 o'clock and then I wake up at 5. Well, you've actually got to make sure you do get some sleep to repair your body. There's some simple passive detox that I can suggest, some food detox. Dr. Wilson said 80% of his patients appear to have candida problems, so resolve that one before you start, and then replenish the adrenal glands. So I'm going to rush through 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, take a bit of time on 6 and 7, and then there are others who can tell you much more about 8, 9, 10, and 11. So a little bit of exercise, a little bit of aerobics, a bit of brisk walking is probably all you need, 10 to 30 minutes a day, but build up a sweat. A bit of muscle exercise. I've lost muscle strength as I've got older, and I need to do a bit more. And flexibility, yoga or Pilates. So here are some details of different types of exercise that you might consider. But it's worth, aerobic and muscle exercise is worth doing at least every 3 days, because your body is going to begin to lose the effect. And flexibility probably once a week is good enough. So you could consider some aerobic one day, some anaerobic muscle work another day, and then do a bit of yoga or Pilates once a week. Sleep. My only suggestion here is if your doctor has prescribed all sorts of exotic sleep aids, see what you can do to wean yourself off them and perhaps try melatonin. Dr. Pete Field obviously mentions this in his book. Or natural sleeping aids. You can buy natural sleep over the counter in Boots. Melatonin's available in America. No, it's under prescription here. There is a prescription product called Circadin, which appears to be a 2 milligram product. I am incredibly sensitive to melatonin, and I take a 0.5 milligram tablet and cut it into 4. So I'm down at 1/8 milligram.
There is a distributor of melatonin in the UK.
Well, they're breaking the law, so by all means buy it, but that's their problem.
I haven't bought any for a long time. I
saw somebody with a spray. But your doctor, if you can persuade your doctor to prescribe it, they may. They normally go for the more exotic things, but passive detox, as Dr. Pitfield says, eliminate all fluoride. There are some medicines that do impact your body, like your barbiturates and so on. What I would say for the 90 days, and it is going to be more expensive, is buy glass-bottled spring water and only drink that for the 90 days. Because plastic bottles have their own problems, etc. Check what's in the various chemicals around your house and try and use less toxic chemicals. Try eating organic food for 90 days. Keep a food diary. I would say eliminate soy. And then try food elimination in each of these sections. This comes out of Dr. Pitfield's book and Dr. Wilson's book. Try and eliminate all of them. Go back on one for 14 days, for a few days, and see what happens. Keep a very, very detailed food diary. This is all straightforward stuff that probably most of you are doing. Now, the candida, a number of the doctors in the books that I'm listing before and later say 80% of their patients had candida problems. And so you need to treat candida and leaky gut. And here are two suggestions that I've come across. But I think it's worth paying a lot of attention to this, to overcoming the leaky gut problem before you start into some later steps. The Kalish method is one that this book, The Kalish Method, has some eye-opening information, which I'll talk about a bit later, in one or two areas. So the simple things are, try going gluten-free, as a number of you are. Kill the candida. Dr. Pete Field mentioned some of these things. I'm not expert in this area, but it does appear that it's worth putting back in some beneficial bacteria, especially if your doctor's given you antibiotics for anything, probiotics and enzymes. Here's a listing of some of them. You might consider live sauerkraut and kefir or similar live bacteria products. So, what can we do for the adrenal glands? Looking through those two books, first two books that I listed, there's a whole series of foods that appear to be good for you and some herbs. This question of iodized salt is one that I'm going to defer to Dr. Pitfield on because it appears for some conditions iodine is good for you, in some conditions iodine is bad for you. So more expert advice in that area. But I think my view is that you probably can't get enough of these nutrients from your food, so consider taking some key nutrients. And from reading the first two books, I put at the top Dr. Pete Field and Dr. Wilson. And on the right-hand side is House of Bentley. I've just in the last week set up this shop selling vitamins. And I will. It's not ready yet, but by the end of October, that site will be fully functioning with all of these products. So Dr. Pete Field focuses on these products on the left, different amounts. He's not specific about amounts of omega-3 and B12 and E, whereas Dr. Wilson is much more specific about some of them. And I have to be very careful, since I'm not a medical person, I am not going to make any specific recommendations, but I'm going to make sure that appropriate products are available for you. Now, comment down the bottom. The reason why I put an asterisk on the top four is that Dr. Wilson suggests increasing these four during times of stress. And he proposes significantly greater amounts of vitamin C and keeping the bioflavonoids at 50% of the vitamin C and very large amounts of pantothenic acid, vitamin B5. I've tried B3. I've tried all of these. I typically stop some of these vitamins for a week and then try new ones. B3 is a very interesting one. If you take very large quantities, you really can feel the flush. And it's obviously having an effect on blood vessels all around the body. So you need to go carefully on some of these things. And you need to balance your cortisol level. I found this was in Dr. Wilson's book, showing that Addison's is where you're absolutely devoid of cortisol and Cushing's is where you're overloaded. And what the doctors can't do with the average blood tests that they normally ask for is measure what is right for you. And it's an area that keeps coming back in the whole of this area where you have to learn for yourself what matters, what the reference level should be. Right, so let me go into vitamin D. It's all over the press, and the point about it is that there is now proof that it is relevant for more than 30 illnesses, that being deficient in vitamin D impacts 30 illnesses. Some of them, somebody on my table says, oh, I've got aching muscles. Well, it's almost certain that she's deficient in vitamin D and that by boosting that level, she will improve that. There are some other illnesses, including thyroid, which are medium term in terms of months, and there are others which are longer term, where the medical profession is not yet ready to accept that it has an impact. But I'll come into this. As you'll see from the handouts, I recommend vitamindwiki.com. I contribute to this. It's not my work, but I do contribute to it, and it's just a wonderful source of information. So, vitamin D comes from sunlight, and here is data on 7,000 people in the UK through the year. At the end of the winter, January, February time, in the Northern Hemisphere, you'll be at the lowest. This was 1958 birth cohort, and because it was people born in this country in 1958, it turned out they were all white people. There were no dark-skinned people in this. They're going to have worse vitamin D results. So I want you to look on the left-hand side. The scale there is in nanomoles, and you'll see that at the end of the winter, seasonal affective disorder and all things like that come about because your vitamin D level is at its lowest. And then through the summertime, it builds up, and by the end of the summer, it's up at 75 nanomoles. If there is any illness which is seasonal, then suspect the effect of sunlight and therefore vitamin D. Influenza, immunity against infection. In the Northern Hemisphere, that would be a graph of the influenza. The low levels would be when you get outbreaks of influenza. In New Zealand and Australia in the Southern Hemisphere, it's quite the opposite. So look at this scale, 35 to 75. That's typical of the average in the UK. That's Scotland. Look how much lower they are. That's only a small group of people. And I would say that the poor health outcomes in Scotland are not due to the fried Mars bars. It's almost certainly due to the lack of sunlight. So if the illness varies with the season, suspect vitamin D. And it's difficult, almost impossible, to get enough from food, as you can see here. Go out into the summer sun for half an hour. in a T-shirt with exposed arms and legs and you'll get 20,000 units. You'd need to eat a lot of oily fish or eggs to get the equivalent amount from food. This is the one chart that set me off on this whole subject of looking at vitamin D. What this shows across the top is the blood level, and the scale over here, just above this red marker, is 100 nanomoles. And what this says is the rate of all cancers in that particular trial was reduced by 77% if you got your vitamin D level up and you were taking calcium. That was 1,000 people who in a real randomized controlled trial. Now, the doctors will all say, well, we need more evidence, blah, blah, blah. And I just fell off my chair when I saw this, because reduce your risk of cancer by 77%? Was this snake oil or was it real? And I've come to believe that it's real, and I decided after 3 months of work that I wanted to change the public health policy in this country, and I'll tell you more about that. And together with two or three other evangelists, this is why you're seeing so much about vitamin D in the press, and I'll tell you more. What the medical profession accepts today is that vitamin D affects rickets. That's all they'll accept, bones and muscles. They're not ready to accept that higher, much higher levels of vitamin D in the blood can have an impact on these illnesses. But you'll read time and time again, there are people with MS who are taking massive doses of vitamin D, and it's affecting. There is growing proof that it has a major effect on diabetes and your ability to metabolize insulin. So I think the medical profession will catch up with this. So the hypothesis is that we've all got less sun over the last few years, which has led to more disease. Now, at the top here, there is strong proof. In the middle, there's an association, not necessarily cause and effect, and it's suspected in some of the ones at the bottom. And as a result of this, 40 eminent scientists. Now, the people on the left are not wacky nutters on the internet. These are real eminent scientists, and they issued this call to action saying, we think the blood level ought to be up here, not down here, which is where the British government, Department of Health says, but up here. I'll come into the detail about this. And you've got a copy of this on your tables. And yes, it's exactly the same as the thyroid story. You've got to take your own health, your own life in your own hands. And what they're saying is that 4,000 units, that's 100 micrograms, may be taken by any adult over 19, and that you may take 10,000 units. And what they're saying down here is, we think the level ought to be between 100 and 150. That's the target we think should be set. So let's have a think about this. What action is the Department of Health going to take? Well, if they've set the target at 25 and the low is 35, well, then there's no need to take any action. If, as the Americans have set it at 50, well, there's only a minor problem for a few months, so no preventive action required. Now, for bone health, there is proof that you need 75 or 80 to avoid osteoporosis and other bone problems. So now if you were to set the target at 75, well, now what action are you going to take? And if you follow the eminent scientists and accept that it should be between 100 and 150, then everyone is deficient, and now what action are you going to take? This is the blood test. So as with a lot of other things in thyroid problems, you have to become an expert, you have to become knowledgeable, you have to take your own health in your own hands and decide for yourself. So now we'll go back to this chart. Now, if we want to be up here at 100 plus, now what action are we going to take? So you now look at this graph in a different light. There is a self-test. If you If you press your sternum, that's the lowest bone in your rib cage under your bra, and you press your shin bones as hard as you can, and it hurts, Mayo Clinic says you're almost certainly deficient. So if you do that self-test and you get that result, you go to your doctor and say, I want a blood test. I think I'm vitamin D deficient. Now, if they won't do it, because some doctors are rationed to one a year, there's an NHS hospital here in Birmingham that'll do it for £25. Phone them up, the number's at the bottom there. Phone them up, give them some money, and they'll post you out this packet, and you prick your finger and do your own blood test, and you can do it yourself. And here's the result I got. I'm taking 5,000 units a day, and mine's up at 143 nanomoles. Now, here we've got the same problem as with lots of other of your thyroid blood tests. The reference range is not the same. This hospital says that 50 is adequate. So this is the results from hospital in Blackburn, and here's from Ealing, and it looks the same. If you were to apply the Department of Health figures, now, these are people who were sent for a vitamin D blood test. So the doctor already suspected they were deficient. But if you set the level at 25, then only a third are deficient. If you set your level at 50, three quarters are deficient. And if you set your level at 100, well, 95% are deficient. Here's my rough guide. 25 micrograms a day will raise your blood level by 25 nanomoles. Let's assume you're down at 25, which is very likely if you aren't taking any now. So you would need to take 4,000 units, 100 micrograms, to get up into the mid-range. So off you go to Boots and have a look, and what you see on the counter is, over the counter, in a regular pharmacy, you're only going to get 25 micrograms. Look at the amounts on the pack, because that little one in the middle there is only 10 micrograms. And if you don't like tablets and capsules, in the last month, Boots has started vitamin D drops. There's 1,000 unit drops. And there's Vitabiotics, 1,000 unit tablets. Potential problems. If you've got hyperthyroidism or sarcoidosis, you might be too sensitive. If you've got celiac, Crohn's, or irritable bowel syndrome, you may have a genetic condition where you're insensitive to vitamin D. So Sheila asked me to talk about why one or two people have had great problems lifting up their vitamin D level. There's also a major interaction between gut health and sensitivity, so you need to get your gut health right before you're going to respond to vitamin D treatment. So be very, very careful if you're hyperthyroid or you've got any of the other problems. If you're hypothyroid, almost certainly you can go straight into this next step. And here's my suggestion. Do a blood test. Buy the 25 microgram pack, whether it's tablets, drops or spray. Take one a day for a week and keep a very close note. Then the next week, take two. Then three, then four, until you've used up that packet. 25 micrograms, 1,000 units. But the British labelling is in micrograms. Now, this was recommended by one of those eminent experts for people with sarcoidosis. This is to try this. Start with one, then two a day, then three a day, then four. So you build up slowly and gauge the reaction. If you have no reaction, buy one bottle of 100 micrograms. That's a totally different product from a health food store. Take five a day for 5 days, and this is a loading dose, which doctors will understand, and then you're going to need to take one capsule a day forever. This is the response to large doses. These are people in a sunny part of America, and after 3 days, they went from 65 to 100 nanomoles, and then the half-life is 30 to 60 days. So you basically can take an equivalent amount, seven times the daily dose once a week, or even 30 times the daily dose once a month. Finally, here are a couple of books. If you really are into the very fine medical detail, then this last one here, Why Do I Still Have Thyroid Symptoms, is one of the finest books that I've seen, because it says six patterns of functional hypothyroidism, only one of which would respond to medication. Two last points. Don't start T4 until your adrenal deficiency has been corrected and your vitamin D level is corrected. And on your behalf, I went to meet a vice president of the Royal College of Physicians and had a private discussion with him. He's an endocrinologist. And he said, I think that you should persuade your doctor to set the TSH limit at 2.5. Now, given that the British limit is 10, this is heresy. But he wouldn't go public with this. This was a private discussion, and I'm not going to shop him. But the last thing is, I'm going to go right to the end and say that if you would like copies of this, send me an email, and here are some websites where you can get more information. And House of Bentley is a supplier of the biotech products, and we will donate a percentage to TPA. Thank you very much.